So Yasme is bringing you into a new dimension with Flash and your appreciation for using a lot of Flash.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, the subject dictates the technique. So
the subject does dictate the technique, doesn't it? You know, while we're doing that, let me bring up some of the photos so we can make sure that people have visuals to go along with our talk here. And let me quickly go here, and here we go. Let me take that off so we don't block your beautiful work. So I know that this is one of your best sellers and most famous photos, because I've been in your apartment too.
Yeah.
So I saw it hanging on your wall when we first met. And I love the way we first met, because it was such a beautiful thing, because I really understood and sympathized with a new mom.
Yeah.
And the crying and other things and stuff, because our son didn't sleep that well as a kid.
Yeah.
So I came up to your place and I brought you, what was the name of the book? I forget now. Was it a Buddha for Bedtime or something like that?
Yeah, it was a Buddha book. And she likes the picture. She can't, the stories are a little long for her right now, but okay. She loves the pictures.
Okay. And, you know, I was like, here you go. You know, I wanted to say hello. I was in the city that day. This was way pre-COVID, and it was wonderful meeting you that way. But anyway, I remember this photo. And, you know, it really dawned upon me that, wow, this photo is just something else. So tell us about it.
Well, this was a project where I was using water as a metaphor quite a bit.
Right.
And it's something that I was just kind of doing instinctively, and I didn't realize until I was halfway in that, oh, this is really what it means to me. Mm-hmm. And I had a bad experience in the water when I was a kid. Mm. And it kind of turned me off from the water after that. And I was great at swimming when I was younger. And then after this experience, I didn't want to go in anymore. And okay. I realized that's how I was with the relationships in my life.
Oh, hey, Jen, I'm sorry. Could you give me 1 second? I'm sorry to interrupt you. But I realize that Facebook is playing games with something. So can you hold on 1 second?
Sure.
Bad Facebook. Oh, okay. Sorry, folks. And I'm sorry, Jen, but Facebook has moved to a new platform and they are really doing naughty things. Okay. Sorry about this. Very, very sorry. It looks like this broadcast is leading on Facebook to stream on Facebook, create a new broadcast, or just remove this destination and then re-add it. Okay. All right. Let me... Jen, I'm going to do something. If I lose you, I'll bring you right back on, okay? All right. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Let's see if it goes live now. Okay, it looks like it's reconnected. Okay, boy, I hate to want to start from the top again, so we're not going to do that, but because, you know, the time. All right, folks, let me reintroduce myself. I'm sorry, and Jennifer McClure here. Facebook is being very naughty today. They have a new platform that they've rolled out, and they are being real stinkers, and I'm telling it like it is here, because they have created a situation where it discontinued my broadcast for some reason. We are back on now live. This is the Spin It Social Hour. Welcome. My name is Stefan Kaplan. I'm a social media and visual strategist. And I have the great Jennifer McClure on today as my guest. And we have started going through her work. I will show the slideshow again real quick after we talk about this beautiful photo of hers on the screen. Jennifer is an award-winning fine art photographer who has been doing so much work over the years. I see our viewers are growing. Welcome, welcome. Send Facebook a message and say, if you're updating your platform, stop messing with Spin It Social. And Jennifer McClure. Anyway, okay, my tirade is over about Facebook. We've got the viewers are growing by the minute here. So, Jen, please continue about this beautiful photo and enlighten us about how you did it and what it meant to you. And I know you said you had an issue, a bad experience with the water that made you think a lot about water.
Yes. So I had a bad experience in the water when I was a kid. And for me, this was a metaphor for how I was with relationships.
Okay.
You know, I had not the greatest family life growing up, and so it kind of made me wary of getting in any relationships myself. And this isn't something I knew beforehand. It was kind of something I figured it out as I was doing this project.
Okay.
And I realized that one of the reasons I avoided relationships is because I felt like they were overwhelming. Like, I couldn't control it, and things were groundless, you know? It's like the ground beneath your feet is just ripped out from under you because you're no longer by yourself and in control. You're working with another person.
Right.
And it was terrifying. Mm-hmm. So that was what I wanted to convey with this one.
Okay.
And well, so I was in a friend's pool, and I had this camera that I got on eBay. It was a Kodak EasyShare.
Mm.
So you don't get very big files.
Right.
So I can only, this is the one that everybody wants really big.
Yeah, I figured. I saw the size of it in your apartment. It still comes out beautiful, though.
It comes out okay at that size, but if you get too close, it doesn't work.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, but the photos, you know, stands the test of time as a really, really just incredibly attractive, emotional, and it brings you right into the subject matter, and you have nothing to do but ask, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
And why? So technique wise, I mean, so you had this camera, but it didn't have special housing that you put on it or something?
No, it's an underwater thing.
Oh, it's an underwater camera.
Something you just wear on your wrist. Okay. And so I had a friend of mine on the other side of the pool on the shallow end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she would just go underwater when I went underwater and click.
Okay.
So it's not like we composed this or planned this.
Right.
I jumped in over and over and over and over.
Okay.
And I was so convinced we didn't get anything that I didn't even look at the photos. Usually I look right away. I get really excited. But with these, I thought, and I threw them in the bag, and I didn't even know what I got till I got home.
Okay. You know what I just thought of doing as I'm talking to you, because I wanted to make sure that I did you justice with this whole show today, is I'm going to quickly throw that I'm going to stop sharing here for a second, and I'm going to put us here on the side, and I'm going to quickly show that intro. And now I went through the hotel series that you worked on. I went through the singles series that you worked on, and then we led into with the editing of The Wonderful Journey with Esme and your pregnancy. So instead of me narrating it again, you could talk about a few things as the slideshow is showing, and then I just want to show it so nobody misses it.
Okay, good. I can give a quick wrap-up of the projects.
Sure.
So I did a hotel series about my failed relationships, kind of breaking down where they went wrong. Okay. And recreating them in hotel rooms.
Okay.
Then I did a single series because I thought, if I'm single for the rest of my life, what does this look like? Let me talk to other single people and see.
Mm-hmm.
It was enlightening. It was wonderful. And these are from the series just prior, where I realized it was okay if I was single for the rest of my life. That would be fine. Mm-hmm. I didn't need a relationship to define me. So I come to this realization, and then I got serious with the guy I was dating, and then I was married and pregnant very quickly and had this child unexpectedly.
Right.
It's been great. And then this latest work is the quarantine work, where I've been trying to make photos as much as I can just to keep busy and relieve my anxiety,
right?
Which is much better now with the quarantine. But in the beginning, you remember, it was terrifying. We didn't want to leave our houses.
Right. No, absolutely. And I get that. I mean, I can't tell you. Thank you. I'm glad. I just wanted to make sure everybody saw that body of work that I put together for you there. And because you've worked on so much. But, you know, I want to tell everybody also, please, for the photographers that I bring on, especially Jen and everybody else, hit the share button, please, folks. Share this broadcast with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your frenemies, whatever you have out there. Share it with everybody. Show the love for these photographers who work so hard at what they do and deserve the recognition about their work. So let's move through this slideshow here, and let's start by talking about this hotel series that you worked on and your fascination with hotel rooms, which I read about.
I love them. I really love them. So yeah, this was inspired by a Raymond Carver short story, and it was about a couple that locked themselves up in a hotel room with a bottle of booze to kind of hash out their relationship and see if they were going to stay together or break up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I can do this with my breakups, because I thought I was going to look at all my past relationships and find out what all the men I dated had in common, to see what was wrong with them. And I, you know, the punchline is obviously that I was the thing that everybody had in common. I was the one that was the problem in all my relationships. But I honestly didn't know that going in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would meet, it was either friends or family. In this case, this was an actor who I'd never met before.
And he didn't speak English, right?
He didn't speak any English. No, I was going to Paris because I just decided I need to go. Which is a big deal when you work in a restaurant. I have no money, but I'm like, I'm going to Paris. I need to get away. And it turns out that a friend had a friend who was an actor. The friend showed up and translated the scenario and then left. And so he and I acted it all out just based on that.
Well, it's a great photo, and it really, you know, the setup and everything when you're working, setting up your camera and taking these photos, you know, you would swear it's so perfect and so beautiful that somebody was actually taking it. The setup that you do for these photos are absolutely gorgeous, including your self-portraits.
Well, those were always, I never knew what I was going to find when I got there. I didn't know what the light would be like. I didn't. Right. No, so I would just have to adapt to whatever the situation was, which was pretty fun.
Right. Well, you know, I was looking at a lot of these, and in similar way, what you were doing with hotels is sort of what movie people do, what filmmakers do, scouting locations, right?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it, yeah. And I would go online and look at the hotel rooms, and then sometimes when I showed up, they would give me a different room.
Yeah.
And I would have to go down and make up a story. And I'd say, you know, it's our anniversary. It's a really special night. Can we get the room I saw online?
Right.
And then
go ahead, please.
No, and then they would hook me up with a better room.
Right.
So as much as I scouted locations, it still was a surprise when I got there.
Well, we're going through some of these because this question is so fitting right here as we go through a bunch of these. Oh my God, the lighting and just the look, your hair, everything just beautiful. And I've always loved your tattoo, by the way. But the thing is that it's, what is the difference between a selfie and a self-portrait and this beautiful work? You know, your work is so deep, so introspective. And when you look at your photos of yourself, I normally could not look at a lot of photos like this, but you do them so exceptionally well. That I love your art. I love your art, and I love the way you captured the moods and everything else. So tell us about that, Jen.
About the moods or about the question?
About what's the difference between a selfie and a self-portrait and how you approach this type of photography?
Well, to me, a selfie generally has to have your arm out.
Right.
Doing that.
Right.
And it's usually not on a great camera. Like, you can't hold a Canon 5D like this and take your own picture.
True.
And a selfie usually describes, you know, I was here.
Right.
This happened. And it's very descriptive, and it's rarely interpretive. Some people have done it, and they do it well, but it's pretty rare. Right. But a self-portrait, I feel like, is more intentional.
Right.
And it is more about creating a scene and trying to convey a mood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I figured I'd ask you that just because of this generation we're living in now, you know, where I would love for people to pick up the habit of stopping with all the selfies and actually try to really create art like self-portraits. I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of taking a lot of selfies too. I was reading that, you know, because our cameras, most of our iPhones have a wide angle lens. So when you take a selfie, your face looks a certain way that it doesn't in real life. And I've read about people having plastic surgery to get their faces to match the wide angle lens version of themselves.
No, you did not. Seriously?
It's true.
Wow. That's scary. That is so scary. But, you know, I found so many of these, and I picked the ones that I thought really were just, I mean, they're all amazing, but some of these just really stood out. Now, I watched the great interview you did with Leica, And one of the things that I learned in doing all my research on you is, you know, you love to experiment, and like I do as well. And you like to, you know, you never know what you're going to get, right? That's one of your biggest statements.
That's what I love about it. I think if you just put yourself in the right spot with a camera and trust that something will happen, it usually does. I mean, not always, obviously. I have thousands of photos on my hard drive where nothing happened.
Right.
But if something happens, like one time out of 10, you're doing great.
Right. Tell the quick story about this one here. I love it.
Well, at this point, I was I was using a hardware setup. So I had a daylight balance fluorescent bulb, and it was with one of those metal, looks like a beauty dish. It's something you do get at the hardware store.
Right.
And I just put it on that, and somebody had given me some gel, so I taped the gel over the light.
Right.
And as I was shooting, I was laying down, and the gel fell off the light and onto my face.
There you go.
I just kept shooting, because I was like, you just have to go with it. And then afterwards, when I realized, I looked at it, I realized it looks like I'm frozen in ice.
Oh, my God. It's a great photo. And it's, I love when mistakes like this just happen. I mean, wow.
I never could have planned this.
No, you could never have planned this. It's just, you know, it's just so incredible. It's bizarre. It's incredible. It's deep. Everything.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is part of what, I mean, there's different kinds of photographers, you know, and some photographers have a job to do. They've got to get it done and that's it.
Right.
And so they can't experiment like this as much. Right. So I do feel lucky that I get to.
Right. And I think you know, same thing with this photo. You know, I know a lot of the history, having done all the research and stuff. You know, you tell us about this. I mean, this was another kind of, you never know what you're going to get when you're just experimenting with things, right?
Yeah, because it's really, when you're in a bathtub, you can't keep getting up to check. You'll get your camera soaking wet.
That's right.
So, but I knew I wanted my hands all wrinkled because this was at a time in my life where I was tired all the time.
Okay.
And I didn't have great medical care. So it was taking a while to figure out what it was. Mm. And being tired like that, you kind of feel like you're old before your time. So I was trying to show that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we know a lot of people in life can struggle with fatigue and other things like that. And it's very real and it's very tough. It's incredibly tough. So I can understand that. Now, you know, going back to your upset, well, you said it once. That's why I picked up on that word. You know, your history with water, and then also, you know, how you became so artistically wanting to capture different things in water. I love this too. You know, you've done a lot, a bunch of these. What is this one of your favorites?
That one was kind of a one-off.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I have two other shots from the shoot that are in a portfolio of mine.
Okay.
But I sometimes just go back through my photos to see if there's anything I changed my mind about or anything that hits me differently. Mm-hmm. And I saw this one, and for some reason I thought, let me just flip it over.
Right.
See what happens. Because it's kind of how I was feeling at the moment, just all upside down.
Well, I love all of these. And then, you know, one of the things that I'm going to do as we move on here is I want to also, you know, show people some of the incredible work that you do as you've walked around over the years, as you've even this new journey with Esme and Brad and being married with a child. I think, you know, your other work stands so incredibly well in your portfolio. And I'm going to start with this one. This is gorgeous, Jen. Where was this?
Thank you. That was in West Palm Beach.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was through a car window.
Like, you know, that's it. I mean, car windows, buses, trains, planes. It doesn't matter, folks. Experiment, shoot. Capture things around you, edit later, right, Jen?
Edit later.
Edit later.
That's one of the things I miss about usually being with the kid. You've got to be vigilant and watching the kid. Like, I don't have time to stop and stare and
wait
for things anymore.
Right. And the biggest part, of course, is then getting home after taking care of the kid and trying to find the energy to edit everything, right?
Yeah.
So Edward yeah. says, beautiful shot. It looks like one is peering from a cloud layer from the sky looking down. Amazing. Thank you. Wow, that's very kind. Very Thank nice. You. We have a lot of comments coming in. Jonathan's going to share them, and we're going to bring Jonathan on in a second to actually ask you a question. Edward says, as a parent, I understand the difficulty of COVID-19 and how it impacts not only on your life, but that of the child. The thing that strikes me as we look at young children, we feel sad because we understand what is happening, but they do not in many ways when they are so young. Your images are striking in that we get a feeling from this of this from your work, quite moving and thoughtful.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
Edward is a very big fan of the show. He's a great supporter and a great photographer himself, who's an avid Leica user, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yep. I know that's your camera of that and the Canon are your cameras of choice, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So, and then of course we, but before we get to this, actually, as I said, I'm going to stop this here, and I want to quickly show this. Let's see here. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to show some of your general work right here, and I'm going to let it go full frame here for everybody. I love, you know, you walk around, even some of the shots that are set up, your use of light, like I said, look at all this beautiful natural lighting at a skateboard park, in the rooftop of a hotel, looking down at a pool. It doesn't matter where you are. You capture so much beauty day in and day out, everywhere you go. And I wanted to make sure that I put together a quick snippet of this. And that one. Oh, I love that exit to the train station photo. Bravo.
Thank you. It's like a little time capsule here. It's funny.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, great.
That makes me feel good. I know I've done my job for you then.
Yeah.
But tell us along your travels also, I mean, you know, I know you have a connection with Iceland, right? Because you've been there before. You went there with Esme and Brad. And obviously, you don't let anything stop you. Look at this beauty.
Well, that was actually from the safety of a footpath.
Okay.
Well, and I have to, you know, give some thanks to my very patient husband, who will sit and wait while I go, just five more minutes.
Weren't we joking about that the other night? We were talking about our passion and how
because
our...
it's never one more, and it's never 5 minutes.
No, it's always an hour.
Yeah.
So it's always an hour. But, you know, I love, like I said, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's outdoors, whatever you do, you bring incredible vision, and your eye is off the charts great, and your photos are stunning. This one really grabbed me. I had to throw this in the general selection. Wow, you moved fast on this one. This was a great one.
Thank you. That was through the subway doors. I was sitting on the subway.
Wow, okay.
And the door was just one of those awkward moments where the door was stuck open for a long time.
Oh, okay. It was stuck open. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just on my phone doing something else, and I saw that and said, oh, my God.
Wow, it's a beauty. I love it. I just love the feel of this young man with his head down, the art, that old, decrepit subway beam there, and everything else. So beautiful.
I mean, New York is the best backdrop you could ask for.
Yeah, no joke. Now, you know, You've changed so much. We looked at some of the earlier self portraits you've done, and around yourself at hotels and other things. I showed a few when we started this slideshow, and then I notice a difference here. What's the difference between when when you did them earlier on in your career and now these most recent ones?
I haven't done as many recently, to be honest.
Okay.
And a lot of that is because I'm around the kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even with this one, I thought, I haven't done a self-portrait in a long time. Let me do one. And you just can't get away from this little knucklehead.
I see her right there.
Yeah,
I see her.
Always going to come in. So I don't have time to do very many anymore. And when I try to do them with her, it's always totally different than what I planned or what I had envisioned. And it's just a function of time and like getting myself together. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're all human. We all have.
No, we are. it's hard. I mean, yeah, the amount of time. Yeah, the amount of time you have to do. You're
tired all the time. Yep. And I've definitely taken pictures, so I have them of me exhausted and tired and with the kid.
Right.
I just don't post those as much yet.
Right. I know there's some in your earlier body of work, so I have a couple in here, so I hope that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We talked about, you know, stuff, so I know that it's okay, but I just wanted to make doubly sure. Okay. So I always respect all my photographers and their lives, even though I go digging for a lot of great stuff like this. I adore this photo. I adore it. I hope it's hanging in your home because it's a keeper, and it's just, first of all, I've never seen Brad in his PJs. Now I have, and I know that's his daughter, and that's you. So what a beautiful moment. In Florida?
That was in Florida, and that's his older daughter, Ella, who is still mad at us for forcing her to do this. Well, and we did all these great shots out in the water, and then at the last minute, I just put the camera in the sand and, you know, one more. Let me do one more, and it was the last frame.
Well, beautifully done, it's never one more, like you said. But, you know, before that little beautiful child was in Brad's hands, this was one of those moments way before where I actually, this is a great photo with Brad in the corner there in the pool. It's a very, very different photo, and it's a real moment. But you've also, and I'm going to stop here and I'm going to let you, if you want to share a bit about, you know, the fact that, you know, there's these moments as a newborn mom, as everything else in the pandemic and other things. Well, this was pre-pandemic, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Right. I was pregnant there, I think about 7 months.
Right. So talk to us a bit about this photo and some of the work you've done around some of these moments.
Well, I made a body work on the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple online, but I'm still sorting all of it out. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, it was kind of a terrifying time, the pregnancy, because I was older when I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I was 46 mm-hmm. and pregnant. And it was hard to get too excited about it because I was always expecting something to go wrong.
Okay.
And I also was worried, you know, because mm-hmm. I lived most of my life very independently.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm looking at what's around and I'm thinking, what's going to happen to me?
Right.
What about what I want and what I need?
Right.
And so I was trying to make photos about that during this time. And this was actually up in Maine because I was teaching a workshop up there.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And the great thing about workshops is that you get so inspired.
Right.
Talking, you know, helping other people with their work, like you start to make your own connections.
Right.
So I was so tired and so pregnant, but I forced myself to make work anyway.
Well, that's one of the things that I applaud you for, and that I really just am, you know, just enamored with in certain ways about your desire and your passion, what fuels you all the time. It's a part of you. It's a part of many of us, but you, I mean, dealing with all this motherhood coming up, then a new mother and everything at an older age. Pardon me for saying that, but I'm just echoing your sentiments.
No, they called it a geriatric pregnancy at my doctor's office. So.
You know, it's. You know, wow, yeah, it's a lot, you know, to absorb and go through. And thank God everything's great and we're thrilled. But so you were talking about, yeah, I mean, here you are, you're also even teaching a workshop while going through all this. I know you're a great teacher, a big advocate for the arts and for going to, Prodnia says I had 2 geriatric pregnancies. To me, so much. So Prodnia, Prodnia's a wonderful friend and supporter of the show, and she sympathizes and understands, you know? So you know, and I know that you, so you're a big advocate of the arts. You teach at all these workshops, the main media workshops and everything else. I love your passion for that too. You're, every time I turn around, you teach in a new workshop. Wow, you have mad energy, Jen. For somebody who combated fatigue, you have mad energy.
I still get very tired. It happens. And sometimes I need to take a day and sit around in bed. But teaching is awesome. And before every class, I get this feeling where I go, oh my God, I'm a fraud. They're going to find out. It's going to happen. But then you get in there and it's just so much fun talking to people about what their motivations are and how they can make anything just a little bit better. It's amazing. Right. I love doing that.
Right. Well, I know you have, while we go through this body of work also, I know you have a big workshop coming up, a class with the Los Angeles Center of Photography, and it's entitled Artists as Subject Strategies of Self-Portraiture. So what I'm going to do real quick, because I, you know, as we're talking, it pays to not procrastinate and wait on giving these important plugs for somebody like you of something you're doing, because people should know about it. But here it is, the Los Angeles Center of Photography. Jennifer will be teaching about artists as subject strategies of self-portraiture. Jen, tell everybody about this.
I am so excited about this one. I've been pitching self-portrait classes for a while, mm-hmm. and I was having a hard time because traditionally for a destination workshop, organizations had trouble filling them.
Right.
So nobody was really warming up to it. And then after the pandemic happened and more people are stuck at home with only themselves as the subject, people are like, okay, now's the time. So I've done a version of this class before for Leica with one Cristobal Cobo, who is an amazing photographer and teacher as well.
Yes.
And we come at it from two different styles, and he's been a wonderful partner. But this one is going back to the original syllabus that I had pitched around. And this one is 6 weeks, which I think is useful because students have just a little more time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To experiment, to make more work, and to let a project grow. Mm-hmm. One thing I found about teaching, and one thing has happened in my own work, is sometimes when you start a project, you have one idea about what it's about. But as you make the photos, you start to learn more about yourself and your process, and the project can take a turn.
Right.
Which I think is the fascinating part, too. That's the mystery of it, and that's the beauty of it. So this one is a bit longer. So we've seen it happen in the 4-day workshop, and it's been incredible. So I'm really hoping the 6-week one will be transformative for people.
Okay, and people can go to the Los Angeles Center of Photography and sign up. I saw that one of the important things to let people know, if you're interested in this course with Jennifer, you should register right away, because I see that as a strict limit of only 10 people.
Yes.
So I take it that you take – the reason for that is that you really want to concentrate on the 10 students that are in the course and not be distracted too much by a gazillion questions.
Well, I just feel like everybody needs to talk about their own work.
Right, right,
you've
exactly.
You've got to make sure there's enough time for everybody to process and get stuff out and really help them.
Sure, that's what I meant.
yeah.
So, so they can go right to the LACP, Los Angeles Center of Photography site, and register there. I urge everybody to do this. You'll have an incredible course with Jennifer and learn all about the Los Angeles Center of Photography. So that's great. Let me now take that off. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to bring on my co-producer and Jonathan Borstein, because I wanted to introduce him. He's driving all the comments and everything behind the scenes, and we'll put more up as soon as he's off. But he also wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Jonathan, good morning, Jonathan. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. I know that you had a couple of questions for Jen. I think I grabbed one of yours by mistake, but I know
there's another question.
There's always another one, right? So I'm going to let you, Jonathan Borstein, by the way, everybody, is my co-producer, and he's incredible at helping me field all the comments, help develop this show every week. We work hand in hand on it, And it's been a pleasure ever since I brought him on to do this with me. And thank you so much, Jonathan. Tell everybody a quick little note about yourself, please.
I am a full-time flaneur, a sometime writer, and part-time tech.
And a man of many hats.
Jennifer, since you're dealing with self-portraiture and narrative, how do you create the mise-en-scène within the photograph? You mentioned you do location scouting, but what about the objects within the frame?
That's a great question. And I usually leave a lot of that to chance. I don't always plan the shots. Sometimes if there's stuff that's there, then I'll use what's there. And I'll have an idea about the narrative that I want to shoot. And then wherever I am, I'll sort of look around and see if there's anything I can pull in that might add to that. But I do tend to, I'll be honest, instead of adding to scenes, I tend to take things away, which is hard for me shooting this baby because there's clutter everywhere. Right. You guys know how kids are. Because I'm so used to being like in a hotel room and I'll move a lamp if I don't like it. I'll move the phone. I'll move the pad. I'll move the coffee machine. I'll take things out. Mm-hmm. And so now with this kid, I'm like, it's just stuff. And I have to learn how to make all the stuff that's there now part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's a good explanation. Anyway, Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for driving the car behind the scenes, and we'll see you soon. All right. Okay. So John Quincy, another photographer out there, asks. I know him. I grew up with him. How often do you use a Leica compared to Canon, Jen?
I probably use the Leica more these days because it's lighter, and that's what I always keep around because it's smaller. I keep it in the living room or the kitchen so I can just pick it up and shoot. Mm-hmm. And I usually use this. I know what settings I need, so it's ready to go. And this is a little embarrassing. I use the Canon for the studio, like, shots. And part of that reason is that I have my quick release plate for the tripod screwed in too tight, and I can't get it off. So if I need the tripod, I have to use the Canon.
Okay.
And I'm sure I could mess with that and get it off, but you know how it is when you're –
right.
I grab what I need when I need it.
Right.
And for some of the shots like this one, for instance, because I lit that and I have a backdrop, I have the tripod for that one.
Right.
So that one's a Canon. But more of the day-to-day is Leica for sure.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, we all love the ability to carry around a Leica because it's so light. It's so amazingly sharp. And what an incredible feat of engineering every time they make one.
Yeah. And it also has this feature, and I don't know if they're continuing it with the later models because they had some complaints, but there's a touch release and autofocus function on the ones that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I felt like I was cheating. Oh my God, like this isn't real photography. But when you're with a toddler, man, you got to do whatever you can do just to get the shot.
Listen, what I always say? I always say, get the picture.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely end up taking extra pictures because it's so sensitive that if you're just walking around with it, your hip sometimes will just take pictures the entire, but I don't care.
Right.
But I guess other people cared, so I'm not sure they still have it.
Of course. Let's get a quick semi-world tour. We can't go. We have over 40 comments. But let's see who else is watching. And let's, Jonathan, let's acknowledge some of the people. I know Ronaldo had some comments earlier and some other people. Why don't we show a few of those so we can let people know that we saw their comments and everything else, which we do as they flick by. Marge says, hi, it's Marge from Stoop Stories. John Quincy says, good morning. Neil Parek, Stefan, glad you persevered. Good to see the Spin It Social Hour watching from Spring. Yeah, he knows about the Facebook problems.
Yeah.
The great, great producer out there of live streams with Sri. Lisa from Naples says hello. Lisa's in the hotel business. Tim Song says, go Stefan, another amazing guest. Thank you, Jen Is. Paula Kiger, hello from Tallahassee. Pamela Mitchell from Montclair says, awesome pics. Rose Horowitz, hi, amazing work. Oh, look who's here, Brad. Esme says hello. Hi, Esme. I love that. I love that. Tom Franklin, who's on next week, great work, will show it to my students for their first assignment on self-portraits. Tom teaches at Montclair State.
Oh, great.
Tim Becker, beautiful work, another great photographer in the city. Pradnia from Silver Springs. Thank you, Pradnia, for tuning in. Diana, good morning from Nebraska. We have a great audience here. Ronaldo, a gentleman who put one of my best friends who put my first camera in my hands. Beautiful self-portraits. Apollo from Vegas, soon to be in New Jersey. Hi, all. I can't wait to meet you one day. Peter De Silva, good morning, Steph and Jen, from the blazing state of California. Wayne from the New York Times. Bridget from Ramsey. Everybody, our heart goes out to everybody in California, by the way, with everything that's going on between the pandemic, between the fires, between everything. My God, 2020 can't go away soon enough. Can I get an amen on that, Jen?
Amen.
Except for Esme and except for our families.
Yeah.
Everything else can go bye-bye for 2020, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's been limbo, and then it just went to crappy limbo.
It did. It did. Well, I wanted to let everybody be acknowledged. So thank you, Jonathan, for helping with that. Jen, you see how all everybody's contributing here. So let's move on with some of the beautiful work that was published also. A lot of this, people should know, is published in Vogue Online. Now, Jen, it was in Vogue Online, not in print, right?
Online, yeah.
Okay. Because we all know how print is so difficult these days to get that kind of space.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, but the series that you've done is going to be historical in many ways under a pandemic, because you've captured Esme, I think, is going to, when she gets older, even a little older, I think, well, maybe not in the teen years. I don't know about the teens, but when she gets older, I think she'll appreciate this so much.
I think when she's in her 20s, at some point she will.
Yeah, I think that's the age, exactly. The teens, she might be like, oh, you did not put those photos of me out there, did you?
Yeah, she might have me take some of those down. And if she wants that, that's fine.
I love this one. Okay, so I wanted to stop here and tell us about how you had to seize the moments of dealing with the pandemic and COVID and Esme and everything else.
Well, when it first started, it just was so strange. You know, the energy was strange. And Esme and I didn't leave the apartment for about a month.
Hmm.
You know, Brad would go out and get stuff when we needed it. And even that was a little scary. And we were, of course, masked up and gloved up and hand sanitizer and everything.
I know.
And I started to think how odd this must look to her, mm-hmm. all of these things. I mean, now, you know, if we go outside and we forget our mask, she'll come and hand us our mask and say, you need mask. And now when she walks in the door, she goes, wash hands. But in the beginning, it was a very odd thing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I did a whole series of me putting the gloves on her, thinking, what would that be like for a toddler to have to wear these things?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I only got one shot before those were, of course, ripped off and thrown to the side.
Right.
But, you know, you just keep shooting. You get yourself where you need to be, and you just keep shooting.
Right. Oh, my God. The light on this photo, you could just look at it for days, you know?
Oh, thank you.
You could just look at it for days. It's one of those moments of her reflecting at that age, if you would call it reflecting.
Yeah, he rarely has a quiet moment, so this was a catch.
It sure seems like it. Having been there, as a parent, what a great shot. This too.
It's New York. You know, you have a small apartment, so
you have
to study the light and watch where it comes in, and know that okay, at 2:30, I should make sure my camera is nearby.
Right. Folks, do you hear that, though? This is important. We're all stuck in this together. Something you could take away right now, a real nugget of wisdom from Jennifer here, is that if you're at home, there's nothing to – you can always create something. I teach my students that at FIT. They're brilliant that way. Some of them did some great stuff. And also,
you know, there's moments, the light, study the light in your apartment from windows, from your kitchen, from wherever, if you're lucky enough to have a bunch of windows or even a few. And, you know, Jen, I saw this and I thought right away, was this one of the moments where you really first got her outside, like when she was a little older and she was looking around? Because look at that. I mean, she's got her hand on her head like she's saying, oh, I'm outside. I love it.
I love that you read that into it. That's, to me, that means I made a successful photo, that somebody can read that into it. But no, this was actually when we were away.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. My parents rented a cabin in North Carolina like a year ago, pre-pandemic.
Okay.
And then everybody had to drop out because of COVID-related reasons, and they had to self-quarantine. They were exposed. But we went down there.
Wow.
Yeah. So she finally had a yard to run around in.
Yeah, I love that. That expression on her face with her hand on her head. I'm sorry, but I'm going to throw in my Jewish side here. Ay vey. That's what I feel she's saying right there. Ay vey, I'm outside. Thank God.
No. Mostly it's like, why is she making me stand in this bright light?
Oh, that little dress too. What a cutie. What a cutie. And Brad, I'm sorry, but I had to throw this in there. You know, that morning shot. What an adoring shot. You know, and I know how much, you know, this means to you and Brad. And Brad's such a great dad in general, always has been, and he's been a great friend to me. I'll tell you a quick little snippet about your husband. When I got downsized from the New York Times in 2009, and I was the first one to go, and I was hit hard, Brad was the first one to take me out to lunch 2 weeks later, sit down with me up in Suffern, New York for an hour and just hear me out and settle me down and tell me everything's going to be all right.
He's that kind of a guy.
Yeah, he's
very solution-oriented, so...
No. He is.
Talk about it for a while, but then it's like, okay, what now? What do we do next?
Yeah, no, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always appreciate it. And to this day, we still talk about things, and he was always giving me insight and advice. By the way, I'm going to show it in a bit, but Brad is the founder of a great new agency called Brad Smith Creative. That's Brad Smith Creative. I'm going to show it at the end. He is a master at helping on many things, from creativity to photo shoots to reorganizing teams and many things out there. Look that up, but I will show the website when we're done with Jen. But let's move on here to some of these other beautiful photos. Jen, how did the article come about, and I'll show it in a minute, being published in Vogue?
Well, years ago, I took a class up in Maine, and one of the other people in the class was a photo student at the time at NYU. Mm-hmm. She was amazing. She was a wonderful photographer, but she wanted to be an editor. That was her goal. And she did. She went and interned at it. She paid her dues, and now she's working at Vogue. And we stayed in touch, but it's, you know, New York, stay in touch. It's really hard to get together.
Right.
But we follow each other on social media, and she saw the work. And wrote and asked if they could feature it.
Right. Well, they did a beautiful online feature.
Well, she was a great editor, you know, and I do have to give her some props for being very patient with me.
Right.
So I'm like, well, what about this one? Can we? But she did a great edit. She's very good at her job.
No, she did. And everybody should check it out. Jennifer McClure, Vogue Online, search for that, and Pandemic. It'll come up automatically in Google search. They've had so many hits. It's a great online photo essay. I've thrown in a lot of others, frames that I did edited throughout the week for this show, because this is an hour. In fact, we're approaching the hour, so I know that I promised Jen we wouldn't go over 15 minutes extra, but there are some things that we're going to touch on here. I wanted to, so that was the beautiful selection that I edited together, and the journey continued in Iceland right here in this photo. Tell me about her name real quick in a quick little snippet, Esme. It's such a unique name and such an incredible name.
Yeah, it was from the J.D. Salinger short story for Esme, right. Was Walter Waller.
Right.
And I always loved that name. And I always thought that we would use it for a cat one day. I didn't know. And so then we're pregnant. And after we made our plans and, okay, doing this, like, it just was obvious that that was the name. Because that's kind of what life can be sometimes, is love and support. So,
sorry, you got me on the cat. Instead of a cat, you ended up with a kid. Oh man, I'm sorry, but let's quickly show the Vogue article, because Vogue for doing that and having the smarts and the vision to edit these down with you and put them out there. I'm trying to find it right here. Where did it go? Here it is, and here it is right here. So this is the Vogue article. I'm just going to skim it here so people can see the beautiful layout that they did. How isolation changed everything for me and my daughter, a photo diary. You can read it. It's short, but the photos speak for themselves. Trying to scroll not too fast, but not too slow, because we have 15 minutes left. And I wanted to make sure that I talk about a few more things with Jen that are important. But look at this beautiful online spread that they gave you. Oh, look at that. And, you know, the gentle, even some video. I love that. Look at that. Look at that. Our use of paint and getting all messy with the paints. I love it. I love it. You know that. These beautiful silhouettes. And also Brad outside with his mask on. And her running around, here she comes. I know there's a build up to this one. I love the tree shadows. I love trees up here in Ramapo, New Jersey. I love, Ramsey, New Jersey, near Ramapo where I live. And the window shots are gorgeous from your apartment, which I love your apartment. So what a beautiful spread in Vogue. So everybody should check that out and do that. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, because this is a discussion about a lot about your journey, photography, I wanted to talk to you about social media a bit and your use of Instagram and how you feel social media has worked into your life, how you work around it and with it. And also, there's so much to talk about, but Instagram in and of itself has always been a big thing with photographers. Some hate it, some love it. Well, they love it, but they don't like all the fact that there's so many rules and restrictions when it comes to copyright. And we've had some issues recently. So speak to us about that, Jen.
Well,
about social media in general.
When I first started using it, I was way more personal and mm-hmm. revealing. Mm-hmm. And then something kind of shifts as you start to use it more professionally. And I haven't been as loose with it lately as I used to be, but I think it's an important tool, and I don't always put all of my favorite and greatest photos on there. Mm-hmm. I sort of go like every other one, because you do want to hold some back, you know. Right. For the Vogue article, they wanted ones that had not been on Instagram already,
right,
you know, so you've got to give and take there.
Right.
And I use it as a portfolio.
Right.
And I try not to do too much like blatant self-promo. I'll put that in my stories quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I try and keep it about the photos.
Right.
And I try to keep a lot of it to people I know. I'm a big believer in networking and making connections, but I believe it has to be organic and authentic.
Right.
You know, like if you go to events and you meet people and you click, and then you follow each other on social, then you can keep up with each other.
Right.
But it's a natural thing, and it's not trying to force it with people because I think they can do something for me. Right. You know, it's I try and keep it a little more natural.
And we're getting the natural effects right now. And Esme is up and running the house.
Yes, she is, as always.
But, you know, one of the things I want to also tell people to do is to go to your Instagram at jmcclurephoto. That's J-M-C-C-L-U-R-E photo, J McClure. Follow Jennifer. Follow her continuing journey with Esme and Brad and life. And, you know, your captions, I was going to go through a bunch of them, but I wanted to make sure we got to the work more importantly. Go to Jennifer's Instagram and read her captions, because just like this one right here, they're absolute truth. If I could hold you any tighter, I would. Wow. You know, I mean, you tell it like it is with every caption you write, you know?
Thank you.
No, you do. And they're beautiful. I mean,
somebody wants to say hi.
What's that?
Somebody wants to say hi.
Hey, look at that. I was in the slide. Hey, Brad, duck your head in here for a second, please.
Come say hi.
Oh, come on, Brad. Don't be shy. There he is. Okay, we get his head.
Come on. Good to see you.
Hey, all right. Bye, Esme. Bye. Oh, how beautiful. Thank you. What a special treat. What a special treat. But, you know, I wanted to say that, you know, please, everybody, read Jen's captions, go through them, because just like here, you know, you one line, you say what it is, neither here nor there. You're telling people your thought at the moment. There's no war and peace involved in these captions. They're straightforward and brutal honesty. And I commend you for that. And it just goes on and on and on. This photo grabbed me a lot. It's something about it. The gloves, the movement, you know?
Yeah. That was right after I got my light.
Okay. Laura says, oh, cute, the whole family. Great to see Jennifer's wonderful body of work. Laura's an incredible mom herself, lives in Philadelphia, a colleague. Edward says, I love the blue glove in contrast to the warm flesh tones of the baby and the adult hands, contrast and beauty. Wow. Edward's a great supporter of all photographers. And I can't wait to have him on the show one day. We're going to schedule that in. So let's begin to wrap up here, because we want to make sure that that we do just that. Jen, tell us a bit about how people can find the rest of your workshops. We've been advertising it on the bottom there and making sure people go to your website. But any other tips on how they can find you when you're teaching and doing all this?
I usually post about them on social media. Okay. I also have a mailing list you can sign up for on the website.
Okay. Okay. And what is the exact date of the next workshop that we advertised earlier?
September 23rd.
I have it right here. Let's see.
Yes, September 23rd.
Yes. Okay. So September 23rd, only 10 spots available. So make sure you go to the Los Angeles Center of Photography, Artists as Subjects, Strategies of Self-Portraiture with Jennifer McClure. Yes. Take it. Register for it, folks. You'll have a real treat learning from Jennifer. She's amazing. As you've seen, she's honored us with an hour and 10 minutes of her time with Esme running around in the background, keeping Brad real busy.
Yes.
But one of the things we're going to do is while we're on here is I'm going to quickly go. We have a few more things here because we want to keep it all in the family. And we want to go to the homepage here. Wow, look at that. We know who that is, man. That is the former photo editor of the New York Times, Brad Smith, Jen's husband, also a former director of photography at Sports Illustrated for quite a few years. And now he is the director of photography for the WWE, and he has his own agency now right here called Brad Smith Creative. Check him out. Give him business. Check out his incredible work. I'll work with you, he says, to maximize the creative and financial value of your visual assets for both corporations and individual photographers. So, Brad, we wish you luck with that. Your friendship and being a colleague with you has meant the world to me over the years. And now being tied in with your wife and beautiful family, it means even more. So, Jennifer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do to help photographers. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, I, share it when you get offline with your community. The live stream is on there, so you'll be able to share it.
Okay.
Make sure if there's two that you share the latter one, because we had the hiccup with the first one.
Okay.
Because of Facebook. So you'll know by the hour on it if it's long enough, of course. Okay. And, you know, I'm sorry we got interrupted at the beginning, but we salvaged it. And naughty Facebook, you are. But what an hour it's been. And thank you for sharing your life and your family with the world. And you've taught us all a lot, I think, in an hour and 10 minutes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we will see you soon. Once again, this is Stefan Kaplan with Jennifer McClure. Look her up, the Spin It Social Hour. Find us everywhere. I'm going to get to some promos now. Jen, take care and go take care of Esme.
Thank you.
Okay, see you later. Take care. Bye-bye. So, folks, wow, what an incredible hour and 10 minutes. We're almost done here. I just want to do a few promos, and we're going to get right to it. So let's start off with Sri Srinivasan's Fundamentals of Social Media. I helped produce this. I was directing it from behind the scenes. It's with the Muckrack Academy, Fundamentals of Social Media for Journalists, PR Pros, and everyone. Join this course. It's free, folks. What do you have to lose? You have a lot to gain. Free course now available, mrac.co/social. Get a certificate. Show it off online. Tell your family, friends, and frenemies. And make sure that you get certified. It's a great LinkedIn booster. Second up, we have the NYT read-along tomorrow with Sri Srinivasan and John Byrne. It's every Sunday at 8:30 in the morning. Join us, our DigiMentors colleagues. Sri is leading this incredible new venture, DigiMentors. We're tackling the world with it and doing live streaming virtual productions for the biggest, biggest people out there from Princeton University on down. And his guest tomorrow is John Byrne, the founder, editor-in-chief of Poets and Quants.com, former executive editor of Business Week, and former editor-in-chief of both Business Week and Fast Company. Woo, that's a mouthful. So join us tomorrow morning at the NYT read-along. And then finally, She's On Call. Join this great new medical show with Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. All things life, COVID, medical, you name it, they tackle it. Two great doctors, learn a lot from them, tune in to them. And I am absolutely thrilled to announce my next week's guest, Tom Franklin, a neighbor of mine in Ramsey, New Jersey, that thanks to Carla Baranakis, the former copy chief of the New York Times and national copy chief and my dear colleague and friend, I didn't know Tom lived in Ramsey until maybe 6 months ago. We started talking. I've always known about his work. Tom is the photographer who took the epic photo that will always live in our memory with 9/11 coming up. I wanted to have him on the week before and also talk about some new work he has going on that's exhibited in the Patterson Museum. Come learn all about it. I want to tease you a little with it and bring you in. It's a great body of work that's very significant. And Tom is a great, great human being and an incredible photographer and a new friend and a great, great teacher out there at Montclair State. So come join us next week, Saturday, August 29th. And that's about it, folks, for the Spin It Social Hour. Thank you, John. He says, great program. Folks, I want to tell you from my heart, it does me good every week to do this for the photographers out there. I am also a social media strategist and visual consultant. Look me up. Please reach out to me. This economy has been what it is. We're all moving forward, though, and we all need to help each other. I do a lot of social media coaching, consulting. I work with big brands, and I also produce live streams as well. So please reach out. Please let me know who you are. Connect with me. I wish you well, and we will see you next week on the Spin It Social Hour on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Check us out on YouTube, and please subscribe and check out all the past shows. Take care, folks. Have a great one, and be safe. Bye-bye.